Welcome back to the Coach's Corner podcast. We are in episode 2 of season 3. On today's episode, we're going to talk about what your coach won't tell you and how to crack the starting five. And so we got Coach Randall, we got Coach Mo, I'm Brian. I'm going to be the host, to be asking the questions and everything. So what we'll do is I'll throw it to the intro and then we're going to jump right into this. All right. We got some high production value. You see that little intro there? We have internet issues occasionally. So there's that. But this show is going to be an opportunity for parents and players to get some insight from coaches so they can actually hear the things that their coach can't, it maybe not be able to tell them about why they're not in that starting five or why they can't crack the rotation. So really the thing that we've been talking about behind the scenes is this is to try to get you to be the player that you think you are. I'll let the audience kind of decode that one a little bit, but that's what we're going to talk about on today's episode. So why don't we get into the intros first? Since Coach Randall, since you are the guest, go ahead and introduce yourself to the audience.
All right. Yeah. No problem. My name is Randall Crutcher. I've been helping Mo out now for about 4 months. Used to play basketball for Creighton, originally from the Illinois area. After I finished playing college ball at Creighton, I played some pro ball in Europe for Germany, played some pro ball in Doha, Qatar, won a championship in Germany, was runner-up in Doha, played a little bit in Bogota, Colombia, and Poland. And then when I finished, I helped Todd Eisner coach at Bellevue University for about 2 years, and then I coached a year at Lemoyne Owens College at a small black college out there in Memphis. And then I decided to have some babies, get married. I did a little bit of coaching with my friend Ed St. Fleur, old point guard from Creighton with the Omaha Rebels. But once I had my babies, I decided to lock in. And that's what I've been doing, and ran a car dealership for a while. But I got out of that so I can spend more time with my nephew now that he moved out here. And that opened this up for I can coach with Coach Mo.
All right. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Coach Mo, thanks for being on the show, Coach Randall. I think we're going to get some fantastic information. Coach Mo, go ahead and give a quick introduction of yourself.
Coach Mo Athletics, founder. We are, as a team, it'll be 7 years this year as a team. Me and Brian did this, and Randall, you came on at an amazing time. So, it's good. I've been coaching 22 years. I actually played multiple sports. End up playing at UNO, played football at UNO. Went over and played a little overseas ball over in Panama. I was a street ball kid. So, I was the kid that kind of developed late in the sport, had all the skills, had no guidance into how to put it all together until I got to college, put it all together. And kind of my goal was to help kids before they get to that issue to start working with them at a younger age. I'm a certified speed and agility specialist, one of the few that are in this state. I know the other guys out in like Western Nebraska somewhere. So I work helping footwork and development of explosiveness with athletes, resistance band instructor. So you'll hear my hashtag bouncy playing college ball or playing JV varsity here in the Omaha, Bellevue, Millard area. I work with those. Started coaching by accident because my brother needed a coach at the Y. And then, so I kind of got stuck into it, and then I didn't want to do it anymore. And then I started camps, and people just really kind of connected to it, and started helping CW Boxing Club with their basketball team. Went from there to having my own, and just kind of went on from there. Along the way, I've met a lot of kids, a lot of good coaches. I'm just excited about what we got going on, and to be sitting here with two legends in their field, you know. Coach Randall, I think we've just kind of known each other just through the basketball community, just through coaching for years, but he's brought a lot to what we've done this year and so much success. And I know he'll give a shout out to his teams, because if you see one, you'll see a seventh grade team, we're usually holding the medals every weekend. So, I mean, it kind of is what it is. I mean, like, it's kind of light work. I mean, you're going to see that. And me and Brian have been college buddies, started off at the radio station for a while, and just a legend in the marketing business. And just, and I always say it, he always gets embarrassed by it, the smartest guy I know. So he makes me look good because all I am is just a face. So I appreciate it, man.
I do appreciate that, bro. So what we're going to dive into is, I think, let's just start it out. Let's get right into the conversation. We're going to save everybody's time. Coach Randall, what are some things that, you know, let's start it off. Give me the number one thing that you need, you know, that you think that coaches aren't telling these parents and these players. Give me just the number one thing, the most urgent thing.
The most urgent thing is my big thing is about them being in shape and able to keep out there competing. I have a big thing about people making mistakes or full speed. And that's one of my main things. If I don't have effort out there, most coaches, we want to coach. If I have to coach effort, then I don't want you on my squad. You know, like I said, if you are going to play hard, and then it's just a matter of guidance, and I just got to put you in the right positions and make sure that you're doing the right things and have the right ideas of what you're supposed to do, then I'm going to love doing what I'm doing. But when I can't coach effort, you know, kids go out there and they miss a shot, then they want to hang their head down and just mope, or they won't get in enough shape where they can get up and down the court. Those are my pet peeves on it, because I'm just like, if you want to compete and you want to help out the team, you cannot be standing out and be a hindrance on the squad. And that's something that I love to tell parents when they sit there and try to argue with me about why people aren't playing. But yeah, that's my main thing first.
All right. Coach Mo, that sounds like the conversation that we used to have about with the kids about the boo-boo face. Making the boo-boo face when they make a mistake, pouting, yelling at somebody instead of getting back on defense or getting themselves back in a position to actually contribute on the court. Coach Mo, same question. One thing.
All right, I hit the question one more time. Make sure I answer it right.
So we're talking about one thing, the number one thing that a coach isn't telling a kid or a player or a parent that could help them out. Like, what's that one thing that's keeping them out of the starting lineup? The number one.
Yeah, but I agree a lot with Randall on that one, so I always agree, you know, with that. But for, I guess I'll throw another one out, is what are you doing outside of practice? You know, what are you doing outside of practice? So my thing is, if you think that you're only going to get better by coming to, you know, practice once or twice a week, and then that's all you do, you don't study, research the game, you don't watch basketball, you don't go outside and dribble, you don't work on passing drills, you don't do that stuff there, how do you expect to get better, and how do you expect to get into a lineup? How are you supposed to beat the person out that's in front of you? If all you do is just show up to practice and think that's where you're going to get better.
Okay. So a lot of this, and I think the thing, it sounds like the thing that the common thread is, a lot of this has to do with not external factors. It's the player having to kind of take stock of their behaviors and take stock of what they're doing in terms of not, you know, working on those mistakes and things like that, and off the court of preparing themselves. Do you guys see a major preparation issue with the current crop of players that you've come?
Yeah, I can say that. I don't see a preparation issue. What these at this age group, seventh grade, they don't understand exactly the kind of work that you need to put in if you're trying to get better. Like, and the parents sometimes, I don't think, understand it either. They think that just bringing the kid to the practice, and we do 2 hours or an hour and a half of practice each day, that's what's going to take it. But they don't understand that as a coach, I'm coaching a team. I'm putting team concepts in here, and I'm taking the available skills that you have right now and putting you in the right position so you can help out the team. So if you want to do more, you have to do more on the side. Even when Mo does a great job with this skill development, even when we're doing the skill development, you still have to understand I'm dealing with about 12 to 20 kids. So we're going through drills. You get maybe 2 or 3 reps. It's not like you're in the gym by yourself, pushing yourself and getting as many reps as you need. So those are the things that they have to understand when they come into practice. And parents need to understand that, you know, you come to a skills camp and we give you some ideas. Those are ideas that we're teaching you to go implement on your own. Those aren't ideas that, like, every time you show up and we do, that's just going to make you be better. And then I'm going to put you on my floor. You know, that's where I think that they have a little bit of a misguided idea of what we are really doing at practice.
Okay. All right. So would you say, Coach Randall, I do want to follow up on this. Would you say that the consistency is an important part? Because I do want to talk about around this time of year, we see a lot of team hopping and kind of stuff. Do you think that team hopping a player, you know?
It depends on, you know, it really depends on what you're team hopping for. Mm-hmm. One thing I do not mind is I don't mind a lot of basketball, but I need right basketball. So, you know, if you're hopping because you just want to get more basketball in, like, okay, hey, we got tournaments and we're doing tournaments on Friday and Sunday. And then, oh, hey, there's the one that's open on Saturday and I can go in here and compete just so I can get more basketball in. Then I'm all for it. But if you're hopping because, one, you don't think you get enough playing time or, you know, the coach doesn't see your talent here. So you want to go take your same baggage to another team and get told the same thing. And what you do is you're just running around until you hear what you want to hear instead of working through and getting better and listening to what coaches are telling you, then that's when I have an issue on there. You know, it's when you're playing in tournaments and you're playing game, the team concept comes into play. You have to learn how to play with your team. And, you know, at this age, a lot of people don't know really what their team's weaknesses and strengths are. So if your team hopping all over the place, then you're just bringing, like I said, nothing's changing but your team. You're still the same person bringing the same crap into each one of those teams. So, yeah, I mean, like I said, if you're doing it just to get, you know, keep in shape and get a little bit more run, I'm all for it. But if you're doing it because you haven't heard what you wanted to hear yet, then I think that you're cheating yourself.
All right. All right. What was that line that Tretch had? Naughty by nature, no matter where you go, there you are.
Oh, yeah.
So, Coach Mo, I do want to follow up on that because Coach Randall brought up a very interesting point. If you're just taking the same baggage from team to team, you're almost, you know, you're almost hurting yourself because you're just, you know, you end up getting in an echo chamber. Would you say that some parents and some kids kind of get in an echo chamber where, you know, you talked about it, where a coach might tell a kid that they are the next coming of whatever.
Oh, God.
And then when you get them on your squad, you realize there's a lot of holes in their game, but you have to kind of almost deprogram. Have you ever experienced that? I'll ask you that. Have you ever experienced that, kid?
Man, hey, the props to Randall for just that what you just said was the gospel, man. I hope you're preaching on Sunday because that was the gospel. Like, you just can't hop around. But I've gotten that where people will send me a mixtape of their kid, or they'll send me what he's ranked in his one AAU game where he scored 20 points. And I'm like, that's fine, but I don't know who this kid is. You know what I'm saying? I don't know who this kid is. And with the mixtapes and the highlights, I also want to see your defense. You know what I'm saying? I want to see, you know, I want to see how you react to a turnover. You know, I want to see, you know, how do you react when you lose a game? How do you react when you're down? Can you help your team come back? That's, to me, and Randall played D1 basketball, to me, a recruiter needs to see all of that, you know? And so I know we love our kids. You know, Randall, your father, you know, Brian, your father, I'm a father. We love our kids, but we also, I think we're all three realistic what their strengths are and what their weaknesses are, you know? And so I think parents and guardians have to be very careful of who they listen to about their kid's career and about what's going on. Mind you, if a kid is 14, they're a freshman, they're just coming in, they're going to have days where they make freshman mistakes. You know, they're going to have those things there. No matter if they're a phenomenal shooter, they still need to learn how to, you know, get themselves open and be a, you know, open or be a better defender or a better rebounder or just be a better teammate on the bench, you know, when they're not into the game. And I think parents look at one side, and I think we all get caught up into, you know, we've had those moments. You look at one side, but I think in the basketball world, with the social media, the way it is, we're so worried about how we look. We're so worried about not getting embarrassed. So you edit out. I've seen it where they edit out their kid getting blown by on defense three times. Hey, you know what? Why don't you keep that in there and then show how they fix it in the second half and was a better defender because they were able to listen to coaching and adjust to what happened instead of taking that out. We're not stupid. The colleges aren't stupid. No one stupid knows that there's things that probably happened in that game that you made a mistake. Basketball is a game of mistakes. You know, it's how you limit those and how you fix those as the game goes along. And the parents put so much pressure on these kids to, I don't know if this is like the next part, but to be what they want them to be without listening to people that are actually working with your kid. And like Randall said, you can hop around all, no matter what, you can hop around team to team to team to team. And these coaches, I'll call these coaches out. You have to stop telling these kids they're the best third grader in the country. Stop telling them that. Stop telling these kids that no one can hold you. Stop telling these kids that no one can guard you. Stop telling them that because somebody can. And there is a better third grader. And it, because he's outworking you outside of basketball. And that's, to me, I want to hear that as a parent, like, all right, so now we have some work to do so my kid can get better and better instead of just accepting they're the best until you get embarrassed on the big stage and you're not ready.
Okay. So we've had it where parents, you know, and we've seen it, we've experienced it, we've seen it with other coaches where, you know, the kid is on the court and they almost look like a fish out of water, even though they've been in that experience, they've been in that situation before. You know, parents are asking about playing time and team dynamics. And while the kid on the floor, the ball bounces off his face three times during the game, you know, gets hit in the head with the ball. So I think there is a disconnect, and you guys can speak to it a little bit more. I think there is a disconnect sometimes between what's happening on the court and what the parent sees. So how would a parent get around that? How would they know, like, okay, I need to remove my own biases. What's a good way? And the one author out there is actually watching the whole game, watching game footage of their kid playing.
Whoa, yeah. Randall, you got this one, buddy. You got this one. Oh, well, Lord.
Right up my alley, because what I do is, first, when I look at it, when I watch teams and I see a kid that is, like, standing out bad, not doing anything right, there's two things. There's one is that he might not know what he's supposed to be doing. So I look at a little bit at that as coaching. You have to give them, you have to tell them exactly how they're going to help the team and what they need to do. So they have to be assigned to do something out there. And then two is one of those things where I can't sit there and tell the kid one thing. And then his parent is in his ear completely. No, that's not what you are. That's not what you are. So I try to keep communications open with the parent. So, you know, everybody right now wants to be Steph Curry. Everyone wants to shoot threes and all that stuff. Yet, I don't see them in the gym working on their game, shooting those things. Me, as a coach, I'm not going to let players try things that they aren't good at to hurt the team. I'm never going to sacrifice what we're trying to do for the team. So when I have a parent that's telling me that their kid needs to do more of these things, I will tell that parent exactly what I think of them. I do not gaslight. I do not sugarcoat. I'm very confident in what my basketball knowledge is. And I tell them exactly what I think their kid is, what I think their kid can help us with. And when that kid is not doing those things to help us, he's going to be sitting on the bench. And now I tell them also, I'm not wavering in my coaching. This is who I am. This is how our team is going to be. So I give them that option to say, if I'm not the guy for you, then go. I'm not going to beg any kid to stay on my team. I'm not going to beg any team. I'm not going to kick any kid off my team. They're going to eventually remove themselves because I'm going to have them on the bench with a clipboard. They're going to be over there learning on the sideline because they're not doing what I expect of them. Now, when the kid shows me that they are putting in the work to do those things that they want to do on their own and they can prove it in practice, I'll give them that opportunity to do those things. But they also have to do the things that I'm expecting of them. If you're a big kid, you need to rebound, you need to bang, you need to play some defense. If you're a guard, you need to be looking and give assists. You got to get in there and help us rebound. You got to play hard defense. Those are things that I will spell out to you so easily that you should be able to go out there and say, I'm just going to focus on these things, and that will keep you on the floor until you put more effort and put more work into it to be able to do other things.
All right.
Yes, sir.
Coach Moe, do you have anything to add to that?
No, Coach Randall's exactly right with that. We're in the world of, and Coach, we're all around the same age. And these young kids get upset with us when we talk about the generation is different. Well, it is different. You know, we weren't influenced by, and I'm not trying to say, you know, I don't see saw that meme, you know, old man yells at cloud. You know, I'm not like that, but I'm saying we were different because we didn't have the social media influence. I don't think, we didn't have that. And so we didn't, the expectation was we just grinded. We just worked. There was no one, you know, you might have somebody in your ear at your house, but the world wasn't ranking you. There was no AAU back in the, you know, 80s or nothing like that too, that was telling you you were this and that. And, you know, these big AAU teams that are taking $1,000s to do write-ups on your kids and telling, you know, hyping them up. And it's like, man, you give me, you know, a couple $1,000s, I'll tell your kid, I'll tell you all the positive things he said too, you know? But the thing is, I'm also going to tell you the things I need to work on. So you probably don't want to come to me, because you can save your money. You know, you can save your money in that aspect. It's like, because to me, that is a reflection on how myself and the coaches that I work with, you know, we're family, we're brothers, we're on the same page. And I know Coach Randall, we talk every day. His expectations is high for his teams. And my expectations are high for the teams and the kids that I coach. So you can't just come to us, slip us money and say, do this write-up and don't say nothing negative about this kid. Well, hey, we're not actually saying nothing negative. We're going to say what you need to actually work on. You know, I don't care if your kid goes plays for his school, because most of our kids, that's what we say, play for your school, then play for us. Mm-hmm. But if your school coach allows you to pout, allows you to walk up in the court, and allows you to do that, that's him. That's her. You know, that's not us. You know, if you play for us, we're going to keep it real. Because Randall, you got recruited, and no recruiter was coming to you and saying, telling you the first five things you did was negative. They're like, hey, man, I really want you on the team. I don't care if you walk up the court. I don't care if you kick a chair. I don't care. We still want you. No recruiter in the world is saying that. They're looking at, here are the five things that stood out. You know, this, you're scoring, you're rebounding, you're getting as high as you can on the board, you're a good teammate, you're boxing out, you're strong, holding the basketball. And that's what we're trying to help these kids understand. It's like, there may be a reason your kid didn't make the team. You know, there may be a reason. And it usually just stands. It's usually glaring. It's usually glaring. But then we get the parents to come and they're like, coach didn't like him. Coach hated him. I'm going to tell you one thing. I know some really good coaches, more good than bad. But even the bad coaches, who are considered bad, I don't think they particularly hate a kid. They may not know what they're doing. They know what they're doing. They might have like a couple, you know, like 3% of everybody hate the kid and they're weird and they'll wean themselves out. I think parents don't want to hear the truth. You know, parents want the truth. It's their baby, and it's that, you know, the Brian, we talk about the mama bear, the dad, you know, the papa bear, where we just want to protect our kids. And man, do we love our kids. I love all my kids, but I know the strength of all three of my kids. I know all their weaknesses, just in general as being a parent. And I think parents have to just let go. If you want your kid to get better and develop, let go and just listen. Man, me and Coach Randall and the Coach Joel Bryant, we've had disagreements. We had disagreements. We're like, hey, you should do this. And like, nah, Coach, I do it because of this, do it because of this. And then when we're done, I'm like, you know what? I see what Randall saw about that. For that three particular players, yeah, that does work. Yeah, that does work. And that's just me being open to, you know, the open way has to say it. Being coachable, right? Coaches can be coachable too. You know, players need to be coachable. As adults, we have to be coachable and be able to adjust. But parents, you can't take this stance that everyone's out to get your kid. If they didn't make their team, there may be a reason. If it wasn't grades, if it wasn't attitude, it probably is a skill level and things they need to catch up on. And don't, I guess, don't come to us, you know, with a sad story if you're not going to be willing to listen and get better.
Right. Now, I like to add some. What the parents and the kids don't do now is, we're in a different age right now. We have access to everything. But what happens is, with us having access to everything, all we do now, look how the kids watch basketball now. They don't sit and watch a whole game. They go to ESPN and see highlights. They go to YouTube and see highlights. So everything that these kids see that is getting all the highlights and is what they're working on. But what we do, and this is something that we implemented this year, is we're taping every game. And then I make sure that I put the whole game on. Me and Mo talk about what they did good, what they did bad. And then I'm teaching the kids how to watch a whole game and see the things that they've also did bad. See when you didn't run back on the floor. See when you didn't cover on this help side. See when you didn't box out. Those are the things that teach you the game. So we're teaching those kids, and we're also teaching those parents to be able to watch a game and see the things that they need to work on throughout the game, instead of zooming through the game and only finding the good things your kid did and then putting them up and then trying to sell that. you know, sell that to the people. And I'm like, well, yeah, they did these, but now what did they do over here when they didn't have the ball? If they don't have the ball in their hand, are they standing there mad because they don't have the ball in their hand and they're not doing anything? They're not setting picks. Are they not covering on the help side because all they want to do is guard their man instead of be a team player and guard their man and help and recover and stuff? These are the things that, since now we have access to everything, we're losing that sight, that insight on it. And I, like I said, I can't believe how little kids know when they first come in there. And like I said, it seems to me like it's the easy thing because I've been doing it forever, but it's just mind-boggling. That's all they know. Three, three, right. three, not help side, slide, set a pick, take a charge, those things.
Yep.
All right. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to talk about that a little bit. I wanted to kind of expand on, because I have a little bit of a soapbox here regarding the social media thing. And I see it run, I facilitate a diversion class. Like, today's my day to go facilitate my class for young men that have gotten in trouble and stuff like that. And one of the things that I keep hearing is how social media has really had a negative impact on their school experience, where they feel like it's facilitating fights and things along those lines. But also, you touched on the fact that the kids are only watching highlights. They're not watching the whole game. They're not getting the whole context of the game. And I want to ask this question, then, and I'll throw it, then we can answer it, and then I can go to a quick break, and then we can come back. Do you think that social media is having kids compete against strangers when they can't even beat the person that's on front of them in the court?
Oh, shoot. Man, dang, Randall, you got that one. Oh my God, that was a Mike Tyson, vintage 80s blow there. Damn, go ahead, Randall, you got that one.
To me, that social media stuff drives me up the wall. It's so ingrained in all these kids' lives right now. And like I said, I might sound like an old man, you know, sitting there screaming at everyone because I can't stand it. But, you know, my social media when I was younger was, I roll, you know, we go to Franklin Park and we know who the best ballers are over in this set. And then we go over here, we know the best ballers. And you know why? It's because it's not because they're telling us, it's because other people are telling us. Now, you have to understand, in this social media climate, you're directing your own movie. So I can sit here and make myself look like the best thing in the world. I can be the most suave dude. I can, you know, because I'm only going to highlight my highlights. Nobody's showing any of that stuff. And then what's so funny is, like, I'll see, and Mo has seen it too. We'll see a person who's got a whole bunch of likes and a person who looks like he's amazing on the basketball court. And the people talking about him are a bunch of idiots that don't play the game. But then when you get around people that know the game, when you get around coaches, you get around true ballers, true basketball people, and then they will tell you exactly what it is. Like, yeah, he's not as good as you think he is, or he's all about the show and no go, you know. If those are the people that are talking about you, when I hear real ballers, real basketball people talking about, hey, this kid can flat out play. You know, so many times I've rolled up and I've seen the star that everyone's talking about because of social media. And then I'm sitting there watching another person on the team. And I'm like, that kid can flat out play. You know, we'll use example. My point guard, Sean, I love him. He does not score a lot. He maybe gets about 5 or 6 points a game, but he gets me about 4 or 5 steals. He gets me about 5 or 6 rebounds. He's always setting assists and setting up people. He gets a hockey assist all the time because he gives the ball up and then the next person gets the assist. But he gets the most playing time on my team because as a coach, I can rely on him to do what needs to be done. Now, is he going to fill up a highlight reel? No, he's not going to fill up a highlight reel. But any baller, any recruiter, any basketball person who loves the game and knows the game will sit there and they'll say, that guy makes your team tick. That's the kind of guy that I need on my team, 100%. You know, and that's what you're looking for. But that's where the social media aspect kills it, because it's the show. Like I said, we'll see a guy that can get up and dunk, and just the nastiest dunk. And everyone's talking about that dunk. How many points he had? He had that dunk. But then we had this other guy over here who had 5 steals and hit all these jump shots. Well, how many, you know, why are you practicing so many dunks when you might get 2 or 3 dunks a game, but you're going to get probably about 8 or 9 jump shots a game? Why not work on that, you know? So those are the things that the social media does. It just desensitizes and makes everyone's view skewed, and you have to go talk to the real ballers to understand what's going on out there.
Okay. All right. Coach Mo, you got a follow-up on the social media aspect of it. You have a perspective on it too.
Yeah, and so yeah, I'm glad you know Coach Randall brought up Sean. And you know, one thing to add to Sean for that team is Sean's a kid I've had you know for a while that actually we talked about Randall. He trained with me separately, and, you know, and he comes to other stuff and he does what we ask him to do. He doesn't just show up to the practices and just makes things happen. This kid is, you know, he's grinding. He's, you know, he's coachable, you know, and that's another thing. And we say, like Randall said, the social media part of it is, I guess we got to start changing the narrative. I guess with recruiters and just in general, you got to stop asking a kid after their game, if you didn't go to that game, how many points do you have? I think that question is so bad. I think it's no question. It's so bad because it can't. And I tell my oldest is super humble. I mean, he's a freshman, and you know he gets some varsity minutes, and he's actually done really well in those minutes. And you know, of course, at the freshman level, he does different things. He scores and those kind of things there. But my understanding, I had to make him understand, is every level, you might have a different role on every team. Mm-hmm. Every game might be a different role. And I guess I was really proud of him in aspect because he's always been a really good defender, but he's owned that. He's owned that. And he wants to cover the best person. He wants to show people what he's been doing in his speed and agility. He wants that. And I told him, I said, maybe right now at 14, you're not going to light up the game and score every time at the varsity level. You're 14. You're going to have your chance. But, man, knocking the ball away, getting a rebound, boxing out, hustling back, making the right play, being a good teammate. When you get a chance to hit the threes, your open threes, hit them. You get a chance to hit a floater, hit them. And he's taken it. He's embraced that. He's also embraced being a high-percentage free throw shooter because we've all seen – games lost on free throws. Mm-hmm. You know, we've seen that, you know, and that is a skill that you have to work on. You're so walking in the gym and knock down free throws. You just didn't, it didn't happen like that. That's a skill you have to learn beside that. But social media won't say that. They will hype up the kid that's averaging X amount of points a game. That is great. If you can flat out score, that is great. But Randy, you know, and I know, there is people that are back in Chicago, in the same hood you grew up in, back in Raleigh, where I grew up in, here in Omaha, you know, where I came when I was little too as well, that can still flat out score the basketball. But if you ask them to play defense, to lead a team, to be coachable, to get rebounds, those kind of things there, they cannot do it. They cannot do it, and they refuse to do it. But social media would tell you that guy is a better player than this next one over here. Like Randall said, right. I'm coming to the game like, man, this kid's locking down. My kids, I had kids last year. And just shout out, I've worked with Bellevue West and Middle North kids, and they've been in the last two state finals here. And the year before Bellevue West won, the year after Miller North won. And the point guard play was phenomenal for both of those teams. Shout out to Chucky and Jaden. Chucky's at Wisconsin and Jaden's at Old Dominion from Mill North. And a lot of those kids that are playing D1 basketball. But it was weird because everyone expects in a state championship game this scoring explosion and this 99 to 101 point game. And it wasn't like that the first time they played. You know, Chucky kind of struggled to shoot a little bit from the, you know, the game, but his impact on the game defensively and the assist he throw and the they came back and won a game where it looked like it was over in the last 2 minutes, won this game because of that stuff. I think at the end of the day, it was, I mean, he had 7 points. You know, he had 7 points. And he's a kid that can drop 30 to 40, and he won a state championship that way. He's a championship that way. So social media would have been on his head had he lost that game. And the first thing it would have been said was, why did he score a bunch of points? And that's the wrong thing to say. That's right. The wrong thing to answer. You know, everybody, even him winning, they were like, oh, you know, man, he only had 7 points. Did you watch the game, like Randall said? Did you watch the full game? Did you watch what was going on? Did you sit and make the time? Because if you watched the game, that boy impacted the game. Jaden last year impacted the game. I mean, impacted the game. They won last year because of the impact of the game. Randall, you've seen it several times in AAU. Yeah. You've seen it several times in college level. People impact the game, and you'll never – go to state. Brian, I'll bring up your team. Shout out to them. When they made their run, we know what Curry can do. We know.
Wait. Before you go too far into it, how long have I been a Golden State fan?
I've known this man for more than half my life. Actually, I've known you pretty much all my life. This dude was a Golden State fan back with the old jerseys. It's already, I mean, I'm talking about back in the Weber, Spear, Chris Mullin days. So I always had to have his back and people were like, bandwagon. No, he was about that life. So when we watch it and everybody's like, Curry, man, Clay, Durant, we know those guys are great. Hall of Famers, we got that. Did you watch what Piggy did? Did you really watch the series? If you watch him play, did you watch what Livingston did? Randall, you know how we feel about mid-ranges and things like that and adding to your game. I don't think I saw that man miss a mid-range. Right. This guy had a devastating knee injury and was out there knocking down mid-ranges, skipping downs, locking up your best defender. You know what I'm saying? DG is talking to your guy and we're bringing the ball up and playing defense. And that team was so effective. You know, I'll give a shout out to Ray. I love the Bulls. I love the 80s Bulls. Yeah. Same thing. Michael's going to get his. Pippen's going to get his. But did you see Ron Harper? Did you see what he did? Did you see what Dennis Rodman did? There's games where Dennis Rodman had 0 points. Did you see those rebounds? Did you see the defense? Did you see the mental game that Dennis Rodman played with those guys? No, because you're looking for the highlight. And these kids are looking for the highlight. And a lot of those highlight players that we saw in the 80s, 90s, now, didn't even make it to a finals. Right. Didn't even make it past the first round. And yes, they were great players. They were better than me and all of us sitting here. Yes, they were great. Yeah. But, man, you can't tell me you top anything if you couldn't get the first round. You know, you can't tell me anything if all you were worried about is points. You know, I love some of those guys. Right. I love some guys, but they did not – they're not leader team.
Right. And what do you say, Mo? What we've been doing this year is we've been teaching those guys not to just look for that.
Yep.
Oh, because I try to keep, Ryan, I try to keep all the stats of the games. And so we won a game by two. And I called out our guards because I had two guards on our team. One was 1 for 13. All he was doing is shooting. No assist and 3 turnovers. And then the other one he was 2 for 9. And I said, you guys are being selfish, and they can't understand why. I said, because you're only doing the things that are going to bring you shine. You're not giving me anything else. Everybody else is covering for your mistakes. You're shooting these bad shots, and we got to play off of that. So I said, until you guys have to step up and give us more things. And then I've been shining it on it. So both my guards, Tristan and JC, then the last two games, Tristan, he'll get 7 points, but then he has 4 rebounds, 3 steals, 2 assists. JC had a monster game. He had 7 points, 8 assists, 4 steals, 5 rebounds. These are my guards. And I'm sitting there pointing out that they did more there than they ever did when they scored double figures. You know, my nephew, Taylor, he normally is one of our guys to score. He had a tough game last game. He only scored 6 points, but he grabbed 14 rebounds and got 2 steals. And I'm sitting there, and he's coming off the floor a little down, like, man, I just can't get a shot in. And then I'm hyping him up. Dude, you are D'ing up and rebounding for us. You don't understand. So then he didn't understand until I posted the stats. And then everyone's like, man, Taylor, you had this. A tear comes off the bench, 6 points, 10 rebounds. And I'm like, when you're not keeping those, they don't know it. All they know is I look over at the stat sheet and I had 6 points. I missed a bunch of shots. I'm off. But I'm sitting there like, do you understand how much you impacted the game? JC, you had 7 points, 8 assists. Do you understand how much that affects the game? And even though we had a guy score 19, you did all this. Your contributions are great, and people that know basketball see that. Don't just get hung up on the points. Points are like baseball, like when you hit. When you're hitting, that's your glory. Your glory. You shoot. Hey, it's fun to get up there and shoot. I'm open. It's fun to do that. It's hard to rebound, play defense, keep your guys involved, lead your team. And those are the things that if you do those, you will always stay on my floor because I will never be in abundance to not find somebody who wants to shoot, you know?
Yeah, right. So, and here's one that kind of popped in my head, an analogy that just popped in my head. So you have this car that's beautiful, right? Beautiful machine. Looks great on the outside. You get in, it handles great, has that good acceleration, smooth ride. but it has no brakes.
Woo, I'm gonna look good going to dead.
So, you know, and I think a lot of times, because we've talked to it with brothers that we know that are in those NBA circles and things like that, where a lot of these college coaches ain't fooled by these mixtapes anymore because they got burned really bad because they saw all the highlights. They saw how fantastic this kid looks in a highlight reel, but then you get them out on the floor and they can't dribble with one hand, or they don't know how to pass the ball, or, you know. So I think one of the things that, you know, it does all go back to the deeper levels of the game and other parts of it, and tracking those stats outside of the stuff that you just see on the billboards is huge. You know, I can talk about one of Mo's former players, Chucky. The thing that they say about him on Twitter is he's a defensive, you know, masterful playing defense. He's got people talking about things that they normally don't talk about when it comes to talking about players. And so I think the thing is, parents need to kind of, I don't want to say get a grip, but have an understanding that there are more things than points on the stat sheet. And I think you said it beautifully, Coach Randall. So we'll take a quick pause for the cause. We're not going to have a ton after this, but just to give ourselves a quick break, and we'll come right back.
All right.
All right, so we're going to wrap up this conversation. We talked about it off camera. Give me, Coach Randall, give me one thing that you want parents and kids to leave with if they watch this podcast. Yeah. What's the one thing you want them to know?
We say, be coachable, put your pride at the door. If you're in there and the coach is coaching you, it's my job to coach you hard. If I'm not coaching you hard, then I am cheating you. So we had this conversation. I said, I don't yell a lot, but I will yell to get my point across if need be. So I will tell all the students of the game and all the parents, do not listen to how a message is being delivered. Just listen to what the message is that's being delivered. It may be loudly, it may be quietly, but listen to the message. Understand that if a coach is not delivering a message to you, he does not believe in you. And we use the example, and we got little chuckles about this, but if I'm Phil Jackson and I'm coaching Michael Jordan, I'm going to scream at Michael Jordan and Pippen the whole game because I need to get the best out of them. I'm not going to waste my voice screaming at Judd Butchler because I said, Judd's going to give me maybe an extra bucket. So that'll be 4 points. 4 points compared to if Jordan is not focused, he gives me 23. But if he's focused, he gives me 63. Let me get on him and make sure that he gets us over the hump. So once a coach stops yelling at you, once a coach stops trying to coach you, then you understand that he has given up on you. So take that, you know, take coaching as a mature young man or young female.
All right. Coach Mo, what do you have for us?
All right, what I have for you is everybody's journey is different, and worry about your own journey and do your part. So it all kind of ties together. So, you know, if your dad was, you know, an NBA player or, you know, whatever, that's fine. But your journey might be different. It might be, you know, you might not have the shot that he had. You might not got the height that he had. You might not have the same circumstances that your dad had or your cousin or your neighbor has. So you have to worry about your own circumstances, your own journey. With that, is be the best player that you can be at all times. So if I'm going to get on my journey, I'm going to work harder than anybody. I want to be unguardable for an offensive player. I want to be the best rebounder. I want to be the best defender on the team. And that will make my journey a little bit easier if I know that I put in 100% effort every time I'm there. How am I wasting how am I doing my time at the gym? Am I going to the gym to shoot half court shots, like Randall said, that you think you're never going to shoot in a game? Mm-hmm. Or am I going to the gym to do layups? Am I going to the gym to work on my left hand? Am I going to the gym to work on my handles? Am I going to hit X amount of shots and so many times? Am I working on my corner threes? Ask Reggie Miller what corner threes do. It gets you to the Hall of Fame. You know, like, Am I doing the stuff that I know I'm very strong at? And am I doing the stuff that I need to work on and realize that my journey's not like my neighbor's? My journey's not there. Randall's a different player. I'm a different player. You know, anybody that comes on this podcast, anybody that we know in the city are all different. You're not trash, kids, if you didn't score a lot of points this game, if you're not a scorer. You're not trash. Stop listening to that. You're not a bad player. If you have an off game, you're not bad. People know you can have an off game. You know, it's okay. It is your journey, not anybody else's.
All right. So be on your purpose. Be on your purpose and not other people's expectation. I think that goes into the thing we had talked about earlier about social media, not, you know, comparing what you did to somebody's highlight reel, because you're not getting the full picture of things. There's so much more that can go into it. And I think maybe we can do a future show that is just dedicated to parents and kids about surviving the social media era as a basketball player that's coming up. I think there's something there.
Yep.
All right. So I appreciate everybody's time. Great show, y'all. Sign up for the camp. The link is in the show notes. President's Day, February 21st, Bellevue East High School. We're going to add, there's going to be so much there. You know, we're going to have Coach Mo, Coach John, Coach Randall, Coach Joel. Everybody's coming out to this, and they're going to be delivering the things that they think that your kid needs to take and work on. You're going, you know, it's a starting spot. You know, you're not going to come out and be, you're not just going to attend the camp and then not do anything else. You have to, it's going to give you some ideas, plant those seeds like Coach Randall was talking about, to get your player rolling and tell them to think the correct things to do to up their game. But you got to sign up. We can't take, oh man, yeah, we coming out. We get this a lot. Oh man, yeah, we coming out. You know, we'll see you there. And then no sign up or anything. And then you just show up with a basketball and a kid.
Mm-hmm.
We also aren't going to take the kid that's obviously disinterested and parents are just looking for a place to dump their kid for a couple of hours. Please don't do that to us.
This ain't the camp for that. Stay home.
Stay home because they're not going to get the kind of the babysitting that you're looking for. It's better just to leave them at home if they don't want to play. So that's kind of what we got going on. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Thank you for your time. Like I said, links in the show notes. I'll be including anybody contact information, social media links and stuff that they want to provide. We'll put that in the show notes. Just stay tuned. I think, Coach Mo, next week we're going to have Coach Joel on.
Talking about
more aspects of the game. So that's what we got coming up. Appreciate y'all time. This has been the Coach's Corner podcast. Thank y'all for your attention. Talk to y'all later. Peace.
All right.